of your coming. On guard. On guard. One's got to understand in our walk. I'm just going to be free this morning. I feel I've got enough in me to do that. I'm free. We've got to understand in our Christian walk that we have challenges, circumstances and situations that happen to us. And even though the Bible tells us that Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting the former things. Really what he's saying, forgetting the former things, is forgetting the condemnation, forgetting the guilt of the things that he actually did in life. Because the reality was he was a murderer. He was a lot of things, but the main one was... But he wouldn't allow the guilt of that to carry him. But one thing he didn't forget was that he was the chief of sinners. Because that's what the Bible says. He was the chief of sinners. He never forgot what God redeemed him from. Amen? So in life, in our hearts and in our deliverance, there can still be a residue of things that have happened to us or the memory of, but not the guilt of. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God does that on purpose so we remember his goodness. It is the actual genesis of your testimony. Amen? And you are come by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Everyone's got a testimony. Everyone's testimony is equally powerful. That was the word of the Lord this morning. What God has done in your life is done in your life. And what God will do is unlock your testimony to unlock a heart, person's heart, touching them at the moment where they need to be touched. Amen? So never measure your testimony by someone else's testimony. Your testimony is as powerful, the most powerful testimony on earth. What literally has happened, he's delivered me from drinking. And that's just as powerful to me as someone getting delivered from drugs. It's a testimony. Amen? Proverbs 23 says this in the New Living Translation. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I need my glasses. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. There is a well, and there's a wellspring of life within you. Something flows out of your heart. But I'll rephrase that. Something flows out of your heart, but there's other things that flow into your heart. There's an in and there's an out. Amen. My heart needs to be kept, protect and on guard. Your heart, protect your heart or guard your heart with all diligence, above all things, it says. For out of it springs the issues of life. You do not need to guard something that has not got value. You only guard things that have got value. Is that the truth? So it's ridiculous to guard something that's worthless. So to God, your heart is very, very valuable. It should be, if it's valuable to God, it should be valuable to me. Okay? I need to guard my heart. There are two things that I carry with me every day of my life. So do you. There are two voices that constantly contest in your life. And if they bear witness with one another, it will be fulfilled. You are looking at me like a stunned mouse. You have a soul. And you have a spirit. When Jesus was crucified, there was two other crosses next to him. Yes? One thief on the cross said what? Lord, forgive me. And Jesus, the spirit man, says, today you shall be with me in paradise. The other one, the other thief, there was two thieves. The other thief, he never repented. In fact, he scorned God. And died in his sin. They represent your body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit man, the Christ, will live eternally. All will be redeemed. Yes? My soul will be saved. You shall be saved. You will be saved. My body will die. This body will never get to heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This body will never get to heaven. My spirit is saved. My soul is being transformed. Your soul was not transformed when you got... Your soul, man, you're renewing mind. You're renewing your mind. Did you get a brand new renewed mind? Did you think godly every minute of the day when you got born again? No, you didn't. You're being transformed. You are submitting your will to the will of the Father. Is that the truth? Amen. So we're being transformed. So to thieves, if they get a hold of themselves, if your soul says to you, it's all right, touch that, it's all right to do that, and your flesh will immediately up to the other thief. As a man thinks, okay? So you and I, whether you think it or not, are at tension every day with the voices of your soul and your flesh. What my soul has to do is listen to the voice of the Spirit and challenge itself to be obedient to the voice, amen? And in being obedience, I am transformed. By how am I transformed? By what? By obedience, by renewing of my mind. He speaks to my mind, he speaks to my spirit man, but I've got to do the thing. Amen? Because if it was not me doing, because faith without works is dead, if it wasn't me doing, I can just sit here till the rest of my life and say, change me. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that. You've got to put your faith into action. Faith is a doing work. Amen? Our hearts are something of value. Ezekiel 36:26 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of what? A heart that can feel, a heart that can be moved, and a heart that can be respond both to God and to man. He is transforming my heart from a hardened heart from stone to a heart of flesh. Amen. He's already given me a heart of flesh. The heart, if I got born again, if you're born again here this morning, you've been given a new heart. Say amen. You have a new spirit within you called the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's given heart transplant. Heart transplant. And the world needs a heart transplant. Everyone needs a heart transplant sometime. We need a heart transplant. Here's the dilemma. When the heart gets injured, when the body gets injured, the heart will shut certain things in my body to protect itself and the head. It will shut down your organs to protect the head. It will shut down, if it will shut down your kidneys, it will start shutting down your body. When the body, it will start shutting things down to protect the heart and the head. Is that the truth? That's what it does. So what happens is when you get wounded, anyone ever been wounded? Few honest people. When you get wounded, if we allow the blood to flow out, if I hemorrhage like the woman, if I hemorrhage life, that's what she did, because life is in the leaven, life is in the blood. If I hemorrhage life, your body will begin to shut some things down. You will not function the way you used to until there's a healing or an infusion of life. Blood transplant, unless it's an infusion of life. And sometimes in life, we allow our wound to stay alive within me because I refuse to allow the Holy Ghost to heal that area of my life, and I'm constantly hemorrhaging life, and God's pumping in, pushing in, pumping in, and I'm hemorrhaging out, because I refuse the Holy Spirit to deal with the hurt. I can never function the way he's designed me to function because I carry this hurt, this brokenness, this wound of life. Are you with me? God wants to heal the wound. God wants to renew it. But I've got to also do my part in the restoration of my heart. Amen? Turn with me to the next one. Ezekiel 36:31 says this, the heart transplant has a residue that causes me to remember. Right? It says this. Then, verse 31 of 36. Then you will remember your evil ways. What God does, he allows me to remember the things I've done. Not the hurt. Not the condemnation. Not the guilt of it. He wants me to remember where I've come from. So I can give him the glory for it all the days of my life. And you will remember the deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourself in the sight for it is any abominations. He doesn't want you to carry guilt. He doesn't want you to carry condemnation. He doesn't carry fear. What he wants you to do is remember the goodness of your God. Here's another dilemma some Christians go through. They can never get past what they've done. So there's a guilt. There's a guilt. And there's a condemnation. May I say this to someone here this morning? God does not condemn you. God will convict you, but he will never condemn you because your sentence has been paid for through Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation, the Bible says. Therefore, in Christ, therefore now there is no condemnation. Your now moment, there is no condemnation. There is life in the Spirit of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. There is life. The Spirit has certain attributes and certain, I suppose people get a bit confused with, certain laws of the Spirit. There are certain laws of the Spirit that we need to fulfill. Amen? The law of the Spirit brings life. It sounds quite contradicting, law and Spirit. What he means is the ways of what God designed to do. There are steps in the things of God. It doesn't say if you do this, you've got to have that. But there's laws in the Spirit. Amen? What you sow, you shall. That's the law of the Spirit. Okay? So God requires of me to remember his goodness. Hallelujah. This heart transplant has a residue, not a guilt. This new heart is given so I can acknowledge God as Savior and my Lord. That's why it's so good to acknowledge God in everything. Thank you, Jesus, that you set me free. Apostle Paul could speak and preach of the goodness of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, and still call himself a chief sinner without any guilt or shame. So when someone says, I'm a sinner, I don't know if they can forgive me. So, well, so was I. Probably worse than you. And I'm still here. And I'm still loving Jesus. He's still loving me. Amen. It's your testimony. It's testimony. So just as the physical body heart is damaged, it is lifted, or it can be lifted up in pride. The heart can be damaged by pride. Your heart can be damaged by pride. All right? It affects life. This is why it says, with all diligence or all else, guard your heart. Your heart has flow in, but it also has a flow out. I must guard my heart. Live how I think I want to live and speak the way the world speaks and still expect God to do what I expect him to do. He won't do it. I must guard my heart. My heart, my mouth is the mirror of my heart. What comes out of my mouth is from the abundance of my heart. Amen? And it's no good as Christians to think, oh, well, I just want to fit and just be part of, you know, I just want to fit and so I can connect with them and do what they do and speak as they speak. And then one day you say, hey, I'm a Christian. And they'll go, what? Shouldn't there be a difference? Well, Christians, should there be a difference? Yes. This should be a difference. My dialogue should be different. Take offense. It doesn't mean I judge them. It doesn't mean I'm offended. I mean, before I got saved, I was worse than them. But I refuse to allow myself to go to that level. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Mouth should speak wholesome, sanctified words. That's what they should be speaking. Amen? But if I'm not, and I'm bling, I have a heart condition. I have a heart condition. Amen? It says, well of life. In other words, there's a source of everything else in your life. Our hearts overflow in thoughts, words, and actions. My heart overflows with thoughts, words, and actions. My heart is the real me. My heart is the real me. Amen? It feels, it expresses, it has desire, it expresses love. My heart, the Bible calls it, is the real me. All right? It's not talking about the pump. It's talking about the real you. Amen? So, with this heart condition, what can happen is if I allow pride, if I allow outbursts, if I allow anger to come forth, it's a heart issue. And what has to happen is my heart needs a transformation. What can happen is this. My heart of flesh can become hardened. So what the Bible says, do not harden your hearts as in the day of, remember that in Hebrews? Do not harden your hearts day of the day in the wilderness. Do not harden. We have the capacity to harden our hearts by allowing the thieves to rob me of the words of the Spirit. Hebrews 15. Hey, that just came out. You have the capacity, and we all of us have the capacity to harden our own hearts. Amen. Eye has not seen, ear not heard. Sometimes we can hear and we can speak. We can actually give God glory. Church folk can give God glory with their mouth. Not just glory with their mouth, they can actually sing praises to Him and worship Him and lift up their hands. But Hebrews 3 can be far from me. Because my service is not my song. My service is not my happy clappy. My service is a loud heart to be supple before Him so He can mold me to the image He wants me to be. Therefore, I must consistently guard my heart to what affects the heart externally. There's a lot of things that can affect my heart. Pride can affect my heart. Rebellion can affect my heart. Disobedience can affect my heart. And I allow those things to manifest in me. And what happens is I get prideful. And so therefore my heart becomes cool. Let not your heart wax cold. To wax cold, hot. Otherwise, how can it wax cold if it's already cold? So my heart can wax colder if I allow these things to have dominion in my life and not allow the Spirit to challenge me and transform me. Amen? Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Is it up here? Let's read these. Verse 29, verse 18 says this. Where there is the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. I've written it like this, right? Where there is no revelation, word of wisdom or guidance. That's what revelation brings, words of wisdom and guidance. The people cast off restraint, right? But happy is he who keeps the law, lives within the boundaries and the guidance of God. Happy is he who lives within the confines of the Spirit. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks, he is. And because our heart is the influence of my actions, thoughts, and words, if we leave them unguarded, unchecked, not governed, or without restraint, out of our hearts flow its predisposition towards ungodly desires. I know that sounds a lot, but it's the best way I could have put it. I do not have to teach a child to be naughty. I have to train a child because its natural disposition is to what? Be naughty. If I do not come under the influence of the Spirit, my natural disposition will to fulfill the lust of my. You don't have to. You don't even have to. You just stop. You just stop loving God. You just stop getting. You get away from God. You will fill the lust of your flesh. You don't have to train yourself to do that, or myself to do that. You will do it. Even if I backslide. I backslide because my desire for my flesh is greater than the desires of God. That's why I backslide. I love my sin more than I love God. But if I'm fulfilling my flesh, that's exactly what I'm saying. We can smile, we're happy, we're saved. He's just given us a heart transplant. If left unguarded, my heart becomes unhealthy, and this can have an impact and threaten everything in my life. My marriage, my family, my friends, my ministry, my work. If I leave my heart unchecked, it will influence everything that I'm involved in. That's how it's. If I choose to walk away from Him, Bible says that I'll be how many times more worse? And yet I'm married. What effect when she wants to follow the things of the Lord? It affects everything. What about my kids? What about my work? It affects everything in my life. It just doesn't stop with you. You see, to think that is very selfish. Your influence is greater than you. And may I say this, it can permeate down generations. It can permeate down generations. You and I must guard my heart. I must guard what comes to it, and I must guard what comes out of it. In fact, Nehemiah 15 says this. Nehemiah challenged the Levites and says, you will guard the gates of the city in the night hour. Made it with the Levites because they were the priests. So when it came in a dark season in the city, he made sure the priests were there so they could pray it through. So in my dark season, my priestly thing should come on and not complain, but have a night season and pray it through. Even though I'm not experiencing anything, even though I'm not feeling anything, I must learn to pray it through. And keep the guard at the gate and keep the gate closed in my midnight hour. Because the thief comes when? At night. I must have the leave. I must have my priesthood, my priestly garments on in my midnight hour. I'm seeking him. I'm believing him. I'm worshiping him. I'm building my altar, making sure my altar's still in the house, repairing anything broken down, fixing the altar of God. And sure, my life with my wife has a prayer life, and we're in agreement with one another, and we're coming together. So, because in the midst of all that, and if you haven't got a wife, that's okay. Your God is with you. And also, just getting before God and praying it through until the moment of the breaking of your morning, because his mercy's on you every morning. But I must put on my garment. Your heart will say, what's the point? A turned heart. Spirit will say, get up. Your flesh will say, lie down. Your soul will say, make your mind up.
That's good. That's good. I like it.
Because as a man thinks, it's just waiting for you to make a decision. Hallelujah. Guard what is coming in, guard what is coming in. There are conditions that affect one's heart. And I've written a whole list. I'm not going to go through them all. I've written a whole list of things that can affect my heart. There they are there. Take a picture. We haven't got time. There's a lot of things that can affect my heart. Romans 1:21, the foolish heart was darkened. The foolish heart was darkened. There can come a darkness over your heart. In other words, what happens is you're not gaining revelation. You're not gaining revelation. Jeremiah 5:23, but this people had a revolting and rebellious heart. I can have a rebellious heart. I hear you, but I ain't prepared to do it. Proverbs 21:2, this is the one I really want to talk about. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders or examines the heart. The Lord is what? Your heart. We can rationalize that the way we're living and how we're speaking and saying we're doing is all right, but we must remember that God ponders my heart. What does the New Testament say? He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He's meditating on it. He's evaluating my heart. And he's evaluating my heart. Who else should be evaluating his heart? Me. I should be evaluating my own heart. Because Proverbs says my heart is deceptively wicked. If I live the heart alone, I will fall into a place of deception. Matthew 15:8 says, these people draw near me with their mouth, but they honor me from me. At the same time. So how do I renew this heart? How do I get at renewing this heart? How do I get my heart restored? To get my heart to beat in the rhythm of his. Because that's what it is. To get your heart back into rhythm, it's got to be in the rhythm of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes When your heart's not in rhythm, you need a what? You need a shock. You need to paddle. You need to be brought back in. Because what can happen is it can be detrimental to you. So that it shocks you to get you back into rhythm with God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we heard Carmen say this morning, a heart went all racy, funny, da-da-da-da-da. Sometimes things can happen, anxieties, fears can happen, and it wants to put your... And you need the peace of God and remind yourself of the goodness of God and remind yourself of the testimony of God and what He has delivered you from to bring back into your heart. Amen? What am I doing here? There was two men on the Emmaus Road. They were walking away from Jerusalem. Is that right? They were on their way to... But what had God said to them to do? Jesus' last command to them was this: stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost has fallen upon you. They didn't stay. They left. And they were on the road, and if they're like me, they would have probably had a good goss session. Why did Jesus leave? I thought He was going to do this. I thought He should have done that. What's all this been about? What's life all about? Have we wasted 3 years of our lives doing what? I mean, what's it all about? And all of a sudden, God appears in the midst of their mess. He says this. In fact, the Bible actually says this in Luke 24, 25. It says they were slow of heart. They were slow of heart. They had expected miracles. Now they doubted His resurrection. They had reasoned away their faith. Faith does not involve reason. Faith involves believing. And that's when you know if your heart is ticking right. Am I in reason? Am I walking by faith? Amen. Become slow of heart. Once they had dead, but now they're doubtful. Once they were hot, but now they're cold. So Jesus meets them. And He's something with them. In fact, it starts, it says, right from the book of Moses, He showed them that Christ come. He was talking about Himself. So something ignited them. Something got a hold of them. The Word of God. When I want my heart to get hot again, cold state, I must allow my ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I must read my Bible. You cannot get enough coming to church. Read your Bible because He wants to speak to you. No use Him speaking to me about you. He wants to speak to you. He wants communion with you. He paid a price to have communion with you. He bore your sin and He took upon your shame and He took on all your situation so He could commune with you. He needs to spend time with you. I need to hear from Him. Amen. There is a time when God wants me aside to Himself so I can hear what He has to say, because revelation releases me. You need to write that down. Revelation releases you. They were getting revelation and their heart was changed from a coldness back to a warm. The something started to flicker within. He started expounding the goodness of God and God's plan and testament, showing that a Christ must come, that a Christ must die, that a Christ must resurrect, and out of that resurrection power, they can have relationship. Awesome. Give me the next one, son. So Jesus restores their black eye. He teaches them the Word and confronts their doubt. Yes, He says, you were little faith. They understood revelation back under the influence of the Spirit. Once you get revelation, what you're going to do is now influence of the Holy Ghost. That's why you must get into the Word. You will get influence from, I've been reading my Bible for 30 odd years. And every time I open it, not every time, I shouldn't say that. A lot of times I open, I'm still getting revelation. And the reason I'm getting revelation, because God wants to me. It's a living Word. He wants to speak to me so that revelation transforms my life. They understood. And it says the Scriptures spoke of Him and the Word reminds them of their need. Faith was restored. taking and applying the word. They started applying the word to their life. All of a sudden, something started to flicker within them. Jesus starts their fire in their hearts and opening their eyes. How did he do it? Luke 24, you can read that yourself, right? By talking with them. Who was talking with them? And who is it? He's the word. To them, the word started ministering to them, and all of a sudden, something started getting excited in their spirit, man. Something started getting transformed within them. Their doubts become faith, and all of a sudden, they realized, hey, maybe what he was saying was true. The Christ had come to die, and through the power of resurrection, could offer life to those who believed. 24, verse 27 to 29, they get to walking. But they refrained him. Why did they refrain him? Because what was coming out of their mouth was giving them life. He would have kept walking, the Bible says. But they refrained him. Why? Because what was coming out of his mouth was bringing life. When you get a passion for your word, it is hard to put it down. It is hard to put it down because it's speaking to you. Amen. He broke bread. In other words, now with intimacy. Intimacy with the word and his. And he showed himself as Christ. When he communed with them, they saw the power of the cross. So when he broke the bread and he gave bread, isn't it amazing Jesus himself gives us what we need? They didn't break the bread. He broke the bread. He gave them what they needed. And in the midst of the word, the midst of the bread of life, feeding them, they saw the nail prints on his hand. Never saw the resurrection power of Christ. So in intimacy, there's a relation just that alone where he will take you to the cross. And a lot of times what we need to do is live under the shadow of the cross because we forget the lives. We need to keep within the boundaries of the shadow of the cross and not walk away into our own light, but stay under the shadow of the cross in the goodness of our God. Amen? What did it do for them? When he left, they said this, did not our hearts burn within us when he shared the word? Something ignited the cold heart back to a hot heart. And the thing is, fellowship with him and the word of God. What did it do? It made them round. Hallelujah. It made them turn around. What's repentance? Turn around. It made them find, it gave them the courage, knowing that they were accepted, knowing that they were loved, knowing that they were forgiven, that they could walk back into Jerusalem. Can you imagine what the other 10 was talking about? Where's those two blokes gone? We were told not to leave. I could just imagine Peter. Big mouth Pete. Sorry, not that Pete. Yeah, I could just imagine him. James, where's them two blokes gone? They read something not right about them too. And he would have went off like a pork chop, like most of us. But they had the courage to walk in. They had the boldness of the ghost to walk into that situation, face whatever they had to face, and declare the goodness of God. Amen? It's a restored relationship with others. When you have restored relationship, you will want to have restored relationship with others. When you really have restoration with God, you can't help but wanting restoration with others. Because you know, that's the heart of God. You know, God's got a heart. That's the heart of God. 33 and 35 says this, he gave them many boldness to share the good news. We have met Jesus. Their testimony went from whinging, from a moaning to a testimony. We met Jesus. We met him on the Emmaus Road, and they had a testimony of goodness. And all of a sudden, something was burning within them. Hallelujah. Something had been ignited in their spirit, man, and nothing could detract them. And they waited in the upper room until they experienced the fullness of their God. Hallelujah. You see, when you've got a burning heart, wait. It's yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. There was a man in the Old Testament in the book of Judges called Obed-Edom had the Ark of the Covenant dropped off at his house because Uzzah had touched the Ark and he died. And David got angry. Attitude. And he dropped off the Ark at a farmer's house called Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom immediately put the Ark aside, never went in the room. And it says his house was blessed because he honored God. He was blessed. David realized his error, got the Levites and said, come on, we've got to get the ark back. I mean, I reckon Obed-Edom was, his crop was, he was blossoming. He was blooming. They carried the ark out. The next time you read about Obed-Edom, it says this, Obed-Edom was standing guard in the temple, guarding the entrance to the temple where the ark was. Obed-Edom realized it wasn't by his might or his power that he was blessed, needed to be back in the presence of the Lord. He followed the presence. He went from a farmer to a soldier. He went from a farmer to a priest. He was saying this, better one day in the court of the Lord than 1,000. He needed the presence. And once you experience the presence, you experience the liberty, you experience the love, you experience the goodness of God, it turns, and whatever's been making a cold, you argue, you say, soul, get into line, for yet I shall praise the Lord. You bring your soul back into alignment to the presence of God. Then you allow God to bring healing to the hurts, the goodness or the wound, that whatever's happened in my life or whatever I've camped around, and God touches that area of your life. And God brings deliverance to your house. Even though my house might be a chaos and panic, if you and I get my heart right and aligned with Him, your God brings order. It just takes one. It just takes one. Amen. That's the goodness of your God. But what we've got to do, how's my heart? Really? How's really my heart? I believe He's here this morning. And there might be a few rocks there. Just a few. God wants to kick them out. If there's any bleeding, He wants to heal. If there's any hemorrhaging, He wants to fix. But if my heart is so hard, He wants to repair. Your God can give me and you a heart transplant every day. That's how good He is. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'll be like the men on the Emmaus Road. I experience Him so my heart is so hot that my heart is burning with me. I want to allow the Word to permeate into my soul so my soul aligns to my spirit man and I reveal the goodness and the glory. I want my heart to be a altar that burns with the fire of God. Amen. And burn up everything that is not of Him. Amen. Our mouth is unclean. You heard the Word this morning. He's got a coal ready to touch it. To change the way you speak. Amen. Every eye closed this morning, every head bowed. Rabba shukaraba basiriando sarabai. Hallelujah. if you need a fresh touch in your heart. I'm talking about the real you. Not the one that we portray. I'm talking about the real you. That person needs a touch this morning. You just lift up your hands before the Lord. He's here. He is here right now. He is here right now. He's here in deliverance. He's here to bring healing. He's here for you to walk out of here like a lamp to someone else's feet. So bright, people can see that the fire of God is so within you. The word comes forth like a burning fire. They too have a burning bush experience. Father, your hands raised this morning, surrender. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender afresh, Holy Ghost. We say, Lord, have your way. Circumcise our hearts afresh this morning. Reveal the heart of flesh again, that we can feel and respond, that we can be touched. Father, this morning, Lord, I want my household blessed. I want my household blessed. Father, I negate every negative word, every foul word I've spoken, and I pull them in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, allow my mouth to be a well of life, wholesome words of life. And Father, replace those words, I pray. Touch those areas of life that might have been infected by it, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you so much this morning that you're a God who heals. You're the God who delivers. You're the God who sets the captive free. For no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And we thank you so much. We thank you for developing our testimony. Keep my eyes focused on your goodness, morning, all the days of my life. I say I love you. I want to say I appreciate you. And God, I say change me. Change me. Change me. Keep my heart supple, Father. Keep my heart supple. That you might be glorified in everything we do. And if that's you this morning, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God that wants to do good things. Amen. I just love him. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. I need so much. We love you, we love you, we love you. I love you, I love you. Be exalted, Father. Be exalted. Oh God. No, this says the Lord, for it's time, it's time, it's time. Time in the season for my bride to come forth without spot. It's time, it's time, it's time, it's time, says the Lord. And I will cause even, yea, a circumcising of heart to reveal the pureness and the purity and the love of my heart to those around you. And I will cause you, says the Lord, in this hour to raise a standard, to release a power of my love. Love, says the Lord, for I'm causing and casting a net to bring souls into the kingdom. And I will join, says the Lord, arm and arm and rank, those who have a heart after me to catch a heart in this hour. God, thank you, Father. Amen. Well, God bless you. Please stay for a cup of tea, cup of coffee, some fellowship, and keep on loving. Amen.